May grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you in the name of the risen Lord Jesus, our Lord and our teacher. Amen. Please be seated. It's from this gospel lesson that we have the text which will be the source of our meditation today. And it's especially right in the middle of it, right in the middle of this amazing, incredible scene of Jesus coming to the disciples walking on the sea, verses 48 and 49 and 50 that we have as the focal point for our thinking today. I'll read that just that little piece for us again. And about the fourth watch of the night, that is in about the time between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m., he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. It's curious, that little phrase. He meant to pass by them. We'll come to that in just a minute. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Well, I want to ask for a volunteer maybe to help me out here this morning as we get going. And maybe since you're standing already, Greg, I'm going to pick on you. But never know what can happen. I'm just going to get you to hang on to the other end of this rubber band here for a second. And just hang on to it tight there, and I'll just go up here for a while. Okay, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Now, I didn't ask you to follow me, but I guess it's sort of self-protection that kicks in there. And maybe, Ferdinand, would you like to hold on to the other one of this? No, maybe not, right? And thank you very much, Greg. You're a very good sport. But we can stretch only so far, can't we? We can stretch only so far until maybe, and I'm just doing this with kind of gritting my teeth, maybe we might break. And I wonder if you've ever felt that way. The scene in Mark's gospel today where Jesus is coming to his disciples and walking on the sea, it's a part of the stretching process as he's discipling this crew. A part of the teaching that he has invited his disciples into is to be stretched, is to bring their lives to him and feel the tension build and be stretched along with Jesus in his company. Discipleship is just that. It's a process of being stretched. We learn through these stretching times. And there are also times when we relax and when the pressure is released and we're left to rest. Jesus cares for us in that way too. In fact, that was what they were aiming for when they went across the lake to begin with. We'll get to that in just a minute too. But the stretching times, and sometimes even the times when we break, sometimes that's when we learn the most. What are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about the disciples along with Jesus. Throughout the summer so far, we've been tracking along with Jesus as he's in various settings, various scenes, but mostly around the region of Galilee, that northern part of Israel. And this is the heartland of Jesus' own youth, his upbringing, and where he does most of his work. Now, sometimes we focus so heavily on the last part of Jesus' life when he comes to Jerusalem. That's quite a bit further south. Sometimes we think about all of the events of the Passion and his crucifixion and then the resurrection so much, even when we think about the Apostles' Creed, remember that the Apostles' Creed just glosses right over most of the teaching ministry of Jesus and goes right straight to his betrayal. We hear he was born of a Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, and was buried. But in between there, there's all of his life and teaching. Sometimes we focus so heavily on the end stages of Jesus' mission that we forget. Why did he have to teach? Why did he have to spend the time in Galilee with this group of disciples? Well, it makes sense when we think about the disciples, that group. When Jesus chose those disciples, when he gathered those men to follow him, when he invited them to come along and see what he was doing, he had a very crucial part of his ministry in mind. You see, if there were no disciples, then we wouldn't have heard any of the story. And all of the Gospels are told by those who were there. Jesus didn't write them. The disciples wrote them. They came after and told the story. This was part of his plan all along. to gather faithful followers who would witness those events which were so crucial, his passion, his death, his resurrection, who would witness that climax of his ministry and then tell the story afterwards. And when you consider that many of these men started out as uneducated fishermen, casting their nets into the Sea of Galilee, trying to eke out a living there on the lakeshore where Jesus was from, when you consider that then they became the world-changing apostles that really overturned civilization and started the most significant movement in history, it makes more sense. It makes more sense that Jesus spent all this time teaching, stretching, discipling, sometimes even stretching to the breaking point this group of men. And so how did he do it? This is a question worth our consideration, and one which our text has a little window on today. As just before we come to the text itself, I want to invite you to think about the whole sweep of the Galilean ministry. This is what I've been inviting you to do already this morning. But Jesus did many of his memorable miracles up in Galilee. The first miracle, the wedding at Cana, when he multiplied or when he turned water into wine. Many of the healings were done up in Galilee around that setting of the lakeshore, those towns along the edge of the Sea of Galilee. His own hometown, Nazareth, was just a little ways away from there, a day's walk about from the lakeshore. He had something of a home base at Capernaum. Capernaum was where Peter was likely from, Simon Peter, his most sort of famous disciple, and where there was a house where Peter's mother lived. You can go there, even if you tour Israel these days, you can go to that place where they think that Simon Peter's mother's house was, and there was a church that was built there through the ages, actually added on to in a couple of stages. But it was in this setting, in this fishing village setting, that Jesus really began then to build this group of people. He's the central figure in all of these scenes, but right immediately around him, right immediately surrounding him, there's always this group. Always this group of disciples. And again, we wouldn't know any of these stories if those disciples hadn't been transformed, so transformed during their time with Jesus, that they then became the good news bearers, those who told the story of good news with their lives and who multiplied it then through history. So let's come to today's text. Let's come to that day. Remember that this continuation of Mark chapter 6 follows right on the heels of what we heard last week and then the week before. It began with their journey across the lake. They were seeking some rest time, and then they wound up actually having a large crowd on the other side of the lake, and then the feeding of the 5,000 happened. But right immediately after the feeding of the 5,000, that's what we come to today, immediately, that's the first word in our text, Jesus sent the crowds away, and he also sent the disciples back across the lake, made them get into the boat and go before him. And he himself went up on the mountain alone to pray. It seems that after all of that ministry, after all of those high points and the memory of that miracle, especially the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus needed to balance again and spend some time praying alone on the mountaintop. He seemed to pray for quite a while because it was well on into the night during the fourth watch of the night. And there were probably only four watches that he saw then this group, his hand-picked chosen disciples, laboring on the water. And of course, the text says that the wind was against them. They've been being stretched all day. They've been coping with the supernatural aspects of who Jesus was. They've been trying to grow alongside Jesus, and he's been leading them in a stretching way all day long. And now here they are again, likely tired, in the middle of the night. It's likely dark. They can't see nearly enough as to what they would need to be safe. And so Jesus goes to them, goes out to them. But now here's where it gets even more interesting, and I want to zoom in right on this little phrase. It says that Jesus came to them walking on the sea, which is incredible enough, but then it says that he meant to pass by them. He meant to pass by them. What could that possibly mean, this tiny little detail? Why would Jesus want to pass by them? You know, as I was reading and thinking about various perspectives on this little verse this week, one person said he thinks this is maybe comic relief, that Jesus is kind of walking nonchalantly across the sea and the disciples are there in the boat working so hard and he just shows them how easy it is to get across the water. I don't think that's quite what's going on here, but it is a curious phrase, isn't it? He meant to pass by them. Here's what many people think is going on there. Jesus meant to pass by the boat full of those weary disciples, much the way that the Lord Almighty said he would pass by Moses when he hid him in the cleft of the rock, when Moses wanted so desperately to see the glory of God revealed, and God graciously said, I will hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I will pass before you, I will pass by you, and you'll see my back, but no one can see my face and live. Most commentators, most biblical scholars think that that's what this phrase means, that Jesus, in his glory, in his revelation of his power, even over the water, even being able to walk on the water, was going to pass by the disciples and reveal again just who he was, his supernatural ability. It's curious, though, because it seems like it maybe backfired a little bit. Rather than be awed and comforted by Jesus' glorious presence, the disciples mistake him for being a ghost, a spirit. And the text says they were all very afraid, terrified, in fact, and they cried out. And so Jesus changes tack, changes course a little bit. And this is why I'm zooming in on this phrase, because I think that Jesus saw those disciples kind of stretched to the breaking point. And all that he had been teaching them up to that point, this whole day of experiencing his miraculous power over the world, now they just needed some comfort. And if they were already stretched to the breaking point, it wouldn't have helped any more for them to be stretched further. But at this time, Jesus realizes and comes to them and speaks to them and says, take heart. Take heart. It's me. And he gets into the boat with them, and undoubtedly he begins to then help them to make their way. And it says the wind ceased. He's good with those natural elements, and they get where they're going. Dear friends, I zoom in on this little phrase, this little scene where it seems almost as though Jesus changes his strategy with the disciples, because it's so compelling to know that Jesus knows exactly what we can handle. He knew just what they could handle, how far they could stretch in a day, and when to shift from the miraculous revelation that he had been giving them into a time of simple comfort in his presence. Now again, the whole point in all of this ministry time, in all of this teaching time with the disciples, is to provide for them a foundation of faith. They could trust him. They knew that they were safe with him, that their lives were protected in his presence. This was going to be fundamental when it came time for Jesus to go south, when it came time for Jesus to complete the mission that he had come to earth to complete, when he was turned over into the hands of his enemies, when he was betrayed even by one of their number. All of this time of building trust, of stretching and comforting, all of this learning would come into play when the disciples recognized that Jesus wasn't planning on sticking around forever. That he, in fact, was planning on going straight into the conflict that would end his life. He would be betrayed. He would be put on trial, falsely accused. The charges would be trumped up against him, and he would innocently walk straight into that conflict and give himself away. Give himself as a sacrifice for the sinful and broken world that he had come to save. All of this training, all of this comfort, all of the times where Jesus got into the boat with these 12 individuals and showed them how much he cared for them, just what they were worth in his heart. Because he knew that if they didn't trust, if they didn't believe, if they didn't get to know him over those years, then when it came time for him to do his final work it would be lost on them. They would be scattered, and they would be without the good news themselves. But dear friends, as it was, they did see, and they did witness their Lord who cared for them, their teacher, their master, crucified, dying. And even though they were scattered at that time, they did come together again, and they recognized that he had gathered them for a purpose. And then when the Holy Spirit filled them at Pentecost and sent them out from that upper room where they were again so afraid, they became the good news bearers. They became the life-changing, the world-changing, the revolutionaries upon which the gospel then was spread into all the corners of the world. Without them, we would have nothing. And so I wonder about our lives. I wonder, how has our Lord and teacher been stretching us these days? How has he been building our trust and helping us to grasp hold of what it is we're meant to learn? I wonder about your life and how you've been being stretched lately. Do you feel like you're just at the limit of what you can handle? Or maybe do you feel like that limit is long behind you and you have actually been broken? Maybe you're in a place of rest and comfort these days, a season of recharging, of rebalancing, and of cultivating some of those latent gifts that God has given you. Dear friends, discipleship is a process of learning for us too. The Master still teaches. He still comes alongside us wherever we're stretched, wherever we're just about to give up, and he gets right into the boat of our lives. And he says, take heart. Take heart, it's I. I know what you're going through. He sees from afar the challenges, the struggles of our lives, and he comes straight into the midst of those challenges and says, take heart. This is the way God still transmits and passes on the good news today, isn't it? This is the way God continues to work. The good news of Jesus is passed on not by removed historians who stand back from a perspective of maybe objective detachment, but it's passed on by those who've experienced it. The good news, dear friends, is preached and shared by those who have known Jesus to come into their boat, who have experienced his presence coming into their lives and comforting them in the midst of their challenges and their stretching and their struggles. And so, friends, if we miss the fact that he's coming to us today, then we won't be able to speak good news in any kind of compelling way. If we don't know Jesus and experience his care in our lives, then what good news will we have to tell? But thankfully, he has come. He has come straight into the midst of our stretching and challenging experiences and has comforted us with his presence, with the proclamation that he is here and that he has taken care of all of our burdens, that on the cross, he was killed for all of our sins, and that through his death and his resurrection, we have forgiveness for exactly what we have done wrong. It's this experience of the good news, dear friends, that we have such a compelling message to share. And so as we close and as we think about the disciples and as we recognize that we are his disciples too, may we also learn to tell our stretching stories. To tell the stories from our lives where we were almost stretched beyond what we could take. And when Jesus came and found us in our boat. And may we learn to speak about our desperate need for his presence. And even sometimes our confusion, not knowing if he's here or not. May we learn to speak, to share openly about our experiences of his grace when we needed it most. To be transparent with one another and with the people that we share good news with. May we often point to the fullness of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, for there is where our salvation was established. But may it never simply be an abstraction, an idea, but may it be personal good news that we tell with our lives, much the way that the disciples then told the good news. Knowing the value of his sacrifice for our lives too, for our resurrection. May we continue to tell that story as we live, as we're stretched, as we learn, and as we become disciples of the Master Teacher. Amen. And now may the peace which passes your understanding and mine guard our hearts while we continue to learn in his presence. Amen.